In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air.
Coming up is a podcast brought to you by the dedicated and diverse volunteers at 3CR. Just a quick message before you get there. For the month of June, we're asking listeners to donate to the station to help keep us going. We rely on the generous donations of the community to survive. Go to 3cr.org.au/donate and show your support for community-owned and community-run media. Thanks for your support and happy listening.
Finally, it should be said that the main reason for setting up new broadcasting stations is to provide better programs, better programs. The government sees public broadcasting as a force for diversity. Its role is to provide Australians with a range of choices which the national and commercial sectors are not able to provide. That's Tony Saley introducing the 1978 Broadcasting Amendment Act.
Listening to Yarra Bosque User Group Radio on 3CR, Community Radio. I almost made a new word there. And today is the 15th of June 2026. It's our Radiothon show. And Yarra Bosque Users Group Radio, a show about bicycles, riding around without a combustion engine, urban mobility, all those sort of things that we can throw in, and adventures and fun. Now, Val, you just gave us a really interesting little intro.
So, look, to a lot of people, everybody who listens regularly to 3CR, has, I think, has got a good grasp of the history of where 3CR and all the other community radio stations came from originally in Australia. So, 1972, change of government, change the country, as Paul Keating once said, and Gough Whitlam and the Labor government bring in the idea of opening up the airways to communities that haven't got a voice in the commercial or national stations. So obviously 3 years later after that, then 1974, another election, 1975, the dismissal of the Whitlam government. But one of a number of things that the Fraser government kept on after that. Obviously, we're not going to go back to bad divorce laws and things like that. But Tony Staley was the Minister for Telecommunications, and the Fraser government made a commitment to keep going with the community radio legislation, of which that quote is from Tony Staley's introduction to that piece of legislation. So think of it as the birthplace of all those community radio stations all around Australia, all through Melbourne, and especially here at 3CR, on the occasion of our Radiothon show.
And what I'll do, this will be a quick reminder of everything just of Val's just mentioned. about why today for us is so important.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
3CR Community Radio Melbourne is Australia's first community radio station owned and operated by a federation of community organisations.
Hello and welcome to the very first edition of Women on the Line, the national program of women's news and current affairs.
We're at our new studios in Cromwell Street, Collingwood, and the new, brand spanking new transmitter just north of the Collingwood Town Hall.
This is the whole importance of having 3CR and public radio, is the fact that for the first time you were hearing a black person's view about his life.
It does represent a unique achievement in democratising the airwaves, not only in Australia, but in the world.
3CR celebrating 50 years.
Make your donation during our annual radiothon. To donate, call 03 9419 8377 or go online at 3cr.org.au.
There we go. And you're back listening to Radical Radio 3CR, Yarra Bug Show. Hey, listen, a shout out to Faith who couldn't join us today here. And just, Chris, before we get into the show, as per bike moment, I've got to say, this must be our 17th or 18th Radiothon show.
I reckon you're about right.
Not that anybody's counting, but, you know.
It just shows the longevity of what 3CR does support. And also the shows that have been on the grid since the inception.
Yeah.
And also just, you know, shows that go for 2-3 years. It's all very, very important. It's yeah, yeah, people yeah. have their voices because, you know, in a really atomised media environment, here we are.
And old school radio.
Yeah. I mean look at this console. It's amazing. Okay, Val.
Okay. Let's drift back into it. A little bike moment to share. Look, Chris, I've got to say, I've had a couple of bike moments. Ooh, which one am I going to do first? Look, you'd have to be a long way off the bike radar in Melbourne to not realise that there was an awful tragedy up in Brunswick, must be 2 weeks ago now, where one of our, I'm going to say one of the best bike shops in Melbourne, probably one of the best bike shops in Australia, unfortunately went up in flames, and the whole shop was lost. And look, just obviously for Hugh and Will and Alex, and I mean, I'm going to go through Kath, all the people who've worked there, Mick, Nick, there's a long history of people. But my bike moment was, that must have been the Thursday morning. I rode up there the next Wednesday, and there are 8 or 9 of them. Hugh, Will, out with saws, hammers. They've got a little place just opposite on the other side of Prentice Street that they had used in storage, and there they all were, all getting ready to get started again. So tragedy 1 week, but then really optimistic look, and a really good example of people just getting back into it. So all power to their arm, and obviously a shop that should be supported. So that's, of course, aka Commuter Cycles.
Yeah, because I recounted on the last show, like it finding out by sheer shock. Like I was checking out, like doing a newsletter, and I thought, I'll just pop over to do the fire sale thing. And there's a reel up of Fire Rescue Victoria, and I'm not going, there's just a counterpoint off, like, the just getting back into it. Will had his big fire sale this Saturday. I mean, the humour, and also they've done a whole bunch of line of new merch that's kind of tying into.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're going to get on with it. And it's just like the first, you know, when you know this yourself, of like, you know, seeing the news come through. Well, how many people is that? 15, 16, almost 20 people?
Yeah.
You know, it's like going, this is people's livelihoods.
Yeah. No, and it's, look, just to watch it all in the space of 10 days to start springing back into action.
Yeah.
It's really lovely to watch. And look, all power to them. I mean, Will's been on the show a fair few times, Hugh, a long time ago. And it's, look, it'll bounce back. It'll be better than ever. We can all know that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, again, I just, I'll get on to happier things in a moment. But, you know, I was being sent visuals of what happened and I'm just going, that's not just like, you know, when you know what it is.
Yeah,
it's a very emotional impact of just, you know, watching something go up and it's like, oh, God. Well, no. But human nature being what it is, the indomitable creature of fun and happiness and bike riding. I mean, I'm just making up stuff here, but yeah, let's get on with it. So my bike moment, well, seeing that I am kind of like pretty incapacitated, but I'm still sort of, you know, circulating. Yesterday, Bicycle Network have been working on this for a while alongside the bicycle user groups, had a strategy day. And you probably think these things are really dull and boring, and if you work in any adjacent industry, you're going, oh, how can you find that interesting? Actually, it is.
Of course it's interesting. It's
fascinating. Probably just high 20s, the people who were there.
Yep. Mostly bugs.
Mostly bugs. It's to do with the new strategy leading into the state election, and it's trying to push that policy dial a bit too, of give us five, and the five is 5% of the infrastructure budget, because we are at 5% of participation. Why can't we have 5% of?
Yeah.
Because I could go into like a quiet litany of things that have kind of I don't think have actually stopped or are broken because of how people vote on councils. I actually think that councils further down the road will have to revisit some of this stuff.
Chris, can we just go back a step?
Yep.
Just fill me in on who are the bugs that are the most involved in. Ooh. Are we going to call this, what are we going to call this, activism straight up or the?
No, it's.
Some bugs are not going to be involved, obviously. I just want to know which sort of bugs are really the ones that are going to get into
them. Oh, look.
Apart from Yarra.
Yarra's a biggie. We've actually started to really hum in Yarra because of things.
Yeah, yeah.
But Melbourne bugs having a resurgence.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got
Mary Beck.
We've got a lot of our friends from the
Port Phillip, I presume.
Yeah, East. Outer East. Whittlesea bug.
Yep.
We have people that are in Whitehorse that are kind of reconnecting.
So it's a good representation.
Yeah, Bike West, it's really good representation. And also there's a lot of talk about how to deal with regional sort of stuff.
Which ties into the way everybody else has had to deal with now, their council.
The point I want to make on this is it's not just bike.
No.
It's about
active
how
travel, it's about, yep.
It's about the transport mix. It's about mixed mode. It's about creating streets and places where you live that feel like home and a lot safer and a lot better and a better kind of vision than we've got right now, which is this throughput at any cost and being car choked. I mean, it's quite simplistic, but it's not just bike.
No.
It's about people feeling some ownership over their streets. It was an interesting thing being involved with a couple of local campaigns to do with things like, you know, don't mention the wall, but Elizabeth Street and Wellington Street. And all that. No, there was some interesting.
Speak about what you know. That's important.
Some
you
interesting
know.
Stuff came out of it. And also the long-running Alphington link. It's not just people on bikes. People who don't ride want these facilities as well. Now, we must not go off topic today. We have Radiothon. And
how are we off topic?
How are we off topic? But no, I just want to kind of touch base on the nuts and bolts of today's show, which is give us your money. we've got a target to reach, which is $1,500. And I think we're kind of getting there.
I think, look, every year we do pretty well. I'm not sure if people want me to read out the people who've donated, but thanks to Liam, Alicia, Owen, Julie, Alison, Alexandra, Dana, Graham, Tiers, and Adrian. There'll be plenty more to come.
Yeah, so I've got to give the how can you donate.
How do you do that, Chris? Tell me.
Well, this year, 2026, 3CR is a target of $300,000. I reckon that's pretty gettable considering, you know, all the things at this station that help the community and community voices and the rest of it. So You can go to 3cr.org.au/donate, and there's a whole bunch of options there.
Yep.
You can call 03 9419 8377 and have credit card or what option you want to do. You can actually come into the station. And also with Yarrabug, we have a givenow.com.au thing there. So go to that, what I just said with the domain name, /CR/ Yarrabug Radio Show. Or just go to GiveNow and search for Yarrabug.
Yeah. Now, a couple of things you should do. Check down the back of the couch. There might be a tenner that you lost there somewhere. Have a look in one of the drawers. You might have an old checkbook there with one check left in it. So if you really want to go old-fashioned, you could bring the folding stuff in the 3CR or write us a check out. Is that a bit too old school, Chris? Sorry. Do you reckon do banks of course they still cash checks.
I'm a long way out of the loop on this sort of stuff. I used to work in the financial sector, and checks were even on the way out over 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd just like to say, as everybody knows, 3CR relies on the Radiothon to do all their fundraising in 1 year. Mm. And if you've ever enjoyed just a single program on 3CR, then that's a great reason to support the station with a donation. And make sure we're here for you tomorrow. All good?
Yeah, and do we want to remind people again what we just said about how to pay?
Certainly. So either where am I looking? How to donate, Chris?
Yeah, so hang on. I can just press this easy-to-switch button and they'll do it all for us.
AI is going to do me out of a job. What's going on in the world? Lovely Communio station, but AI is coming and shot me out from underneath.
I think you're a long way from being redundant yet, Val.
Wondering how to pay your donation to 3CR Radiothon? It's easy. You can pay online at 3cr.org.au or call us any weekday with your credit card details on 03 9419 8377. You can also come into the station at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during office hours and pay by cash or card. Or simply post your cheque or money order to PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. And be sure to tell us which program you'd like your donation to go to.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
And you're back listening to Yarra Bicycle User Group Radio on 3CR Radical Radio, and it's Yarrabug's radio show. Radio! Sorry. I keep on making up new words, Val.
Well, I'm trying to work out those. No, I'm not your who was Samuel Johnson's mate that wrote everything down? I can't remember, you know. One's got all the brains, the other one writes everything. You're making the words up, I'm writing them down.
Yeah, you're describing, mate. Along.
Look, and just before we leave off, a lot of people obviously, well, might know, but I worked at what was then Commuter, now, of course, I think for 11 or 12 years. I did put in a few things, and Chris would know, and everybody who knows me would know. I always liked, I'm of the opinion if a plant can't survive in a room, humans should are pretty hard-pressed to survive and bloom as well. And so, I mean, I left a Commuter pre-COVID, so it's a long time ago now. But I was only up there, 4 months ago, buying stuff. And I noticed that the one plant that was still there of mine was, there was a lovely old Monstera, and it was still going strong. So unfortunately, it died during the fire. So, which reminds me, that'll be my shop-warming gift to actually, of course, when it opens, I'll pot up a lovely new Monstera for them.
Do you do a layer cutting? Because it sounds like you've got a big one at your place, so you could do a nice layer cutting off it.
Oh, I've got a Monstera nut on my throat.
Oh.
I've even got that Monstera contact from Kmart that I put on cheap picnic tables.
You're like me and palm leaf fronds. I've got the same thing about that.
Yeah, no, like palm leaves. Well, you know, that's a we're going to get off topic here. This is a bike show.
We can always talk about things adjacent.
It was a it's a recurring motif in Patrick White's novels. There's about all over, for a whole, all of his books, there's nearly always a Monsteria deliciosa in the background. It's Hurdle Duffield loses his virginity under one. It's a really, anyway, that's not my fascination.
That was a whole brand new sentence there. Anyway,
a Monsteria fascination.
We've got to do the annual reading.
We do. Somebody brought this up the other day with me, actually. Somebody had discovered it on the internet, said, oh, have you ever heard that? And I said, well, I do know of the man.
I just want to bring in, too, that it's coming into 20 past, and we're doing an hour-long program, so don't worry about we're still here. And I also want to bring up, I forgot to do this in the intro, we do have an interview today.
Yep.
And it's with Hayden from Tradies on Bikes in Thornbury. Now, this is a real treat because, yeah, people are kind of fascinated by the fact that tradies need huge vehicles to get around.
Oh, yeah.
Not our Hayden. So we'll be playing that. Yep. We'll be playing that in the show real soon. But do you need some music or something, or do you just need to get into the vibe of...
Which way do you want to go first? We go the boastful Australian or the...
I just actually, too, just want to touch base upon a really good article that came out. It was from, if I can pronounce this correctly, with my multifocals on.
We should do a bit of news, yes.
Yeah. La Velocetta, who, from our perspective, because Yarrabug, we don't really touch upon the road scene. We're more the advocacy and urban adventures and bikepacking and
stuff. But we recognise it, you know.
Yeah, but they've actually written a really good article. And it's called Build the Damn Bike Lanes. Now, the first couple of paragraphs of this are hilarious because it's everything we know and hear about.
Yep.
Yeah, you'll love this, Val. There are few things more predictable in Australia public life than the instant aneurysm that some people suffer when bicycle infrastructure is mentioned. Spend $1 billion widening roads, sensible, mature nation building. Build a fraction of that, helping people ride safely to work, school, the shops, or the train station? Apparently civilization is over. Tradies are under attack. Parking has been murdered. The economy is seconds away from collapse because someone in Brunswick might get to work without burning petrol. Please, which is a sentence in itself.
Yep.
Bicycle Network and other bicycle advocacy groups have been pushing for governments to stop treating cycling as a weekend hobby and start funding it like a transport. Not only nice to have transport, not green lifestyle accessory in transport, actual transport. The kind that moves people, clears space, improves health, reduces emissions and makes cities less miserable. That's a point I've always brought up about giving people transport options. Your life doesn't have to be miserable. Every time I look around at some criticism around, you know, and I point just outside this building, the people kind of throwing criticism aren't particularly happy. And neither are they coming up with another happy solution.
Look, on the same topic, you're playing yin to that yang then. So that's a well thought out article. And I mean, it just points out the obvious. Nice to see that he's touched on this sort of, I mean, it's a really irrational knee-jerk reaction, which he's describing from a motorist lobby, whatever sort of lobby you want, anybody that doesn't want anything to change. I mentioned, as you'll know, the new laws talking about, you know, creating cities with better mobility, more livability, active transport. I see the Guardian's actually read a good article in it the other day on the what's happening in Queensland with the backlash against the new e-bike laws.
That is ridiculous.
So I read the. It's good to see the actual. I've got a new political. I've got a new. Politician to watch now in the future.
Which one?
There's a bloke who's the transport minister in the Queensland government. What's his name? Brent Mickleberg.
Oh, that's what she said on your last show. Of like,
I know. So after your lovely words, let me just replay which Brent's right. I mean, this bloke is one to watch. He's got a lovely turn of phrase. I wonder if he came up with this himself.
No, he probably went past an advisor.
I'm going to paraphrase him first. I will decide? No, he actually says, we will decide where you can ride, what you can ride, and who can ride, and how fast you can ride. That was his part of his press release after.
Thank you for reminding us why the LNP is kind of going backwards and disappearing. They actually will be extinct at the next election. That's someone who's kind of like, to pardon the Simpsons thing, has tried nothing. All out of ideas.
He's obviously drinking that Kool-Aid that all the other people have drunk. But it's it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's a bit of a knee-jerk piece of legislation. Let's see what happens. Give it a couple of years.
And as you said in your last show, what a way to celebrate World Bicycle Day. But, I've got the sort of thing that nothing annoys me anymore. It's just like, it's like, I'll take something from this and learn from it. I really do not get offended by people trying to do the, whatever line of argument. I'm just like, I'll take something from this. I don't get insulted anymore.
I mean, look, a lot of you can be accused, I think, sometimes of making a big deal out of some things. But I always find it an interesting microcosm of the way things work sometimes. The push and the shove, in some people, the inability to consult or actually concede any round or compromise. It's really quite an interesting look at the way. And I mean, it's a fascinating. I think we became polarised on this a long time before we became polarised on a lot of other issues.
I think it's because transport is the issue, and I think also with riders and the rest. I mean, I'm deeply generalistic here, if that's another word I can make up on this Monday morning, of people who ride bikes are an outgroup, and we can just do anything and say anything. It gets into ridiculous sort of territory, and this is where I just go, I'm emotionally not invested in this anymore. I'm kind of sticking to it because I want people to have better options, I want people to have better lives, and I want people to be safe. And that's pretty much it.
I was reminded of John Eggart's famous words when I asked him, why do you keep doing it? He says, well, if you want change, you've got to fight for it.
That's it.
That's all there is to it.
I reckon we should take a little audio break and we'll come back with the annual recital.
Okay. What are we going to do?
Oh, I reckon we should. Okay, let's flip a coin here, Do we want a bit of Latin jazz with Carl Tejeda, or do we want Amel and the Sniffers?
Oh, you're taking a real break.
Okay. I think we'll go with a little.
You're cool.
I think we'll go with a little bit of jazz.
There we go. Thank you. It has all the latest fixings, barrel hubs and narrow tread. It weighs under 20 pounds or less, is as rigid as the dead. It's the every newest pattern and the very latest grade. And it cost you all the money in the last 3 months you've made. So you wheel it from the agents and your bosom swells with pride as you mount it by the curbside and you start its maiden ride. Past the trains, the cars, the traffic and everything you sped till you see a man with rubber pedals plugging slowly on ahead. He's 40 years of age and of antiquated stock, sitting upright as a soldier and as bandy as a jock. He's wobbly, he is shifty, and his handlebars are wide. From crank to crank his tread is 18 inches, and his frame is a pattern that was popular when first the safety came. And as you gain upon him, you are thinking, I must show how a good man on a jigger that is up to date can go. So you fold your arms and pass him in an attitude of grace, when a beatific smile across his open whiskered face makes you conscious somehow smite you as you cross, as across his track you whiz, lest you show him perhaps too harshly what an utter mug he is. And when you think that he is about 100 yards behind, the man with rubber pedals goes completely from your mind, till a darkness at your elbow and a rattling in your ear shows the man with rubber pedals still battling in the rear. When you think with some resentment, this is not as this should be, this man with rubber pedals taking all his pace from me. Such presumption is opposed to all the honours of the game, and if I show him up, then he's got himself to blame. So you'll drop your hands and lightly touch the nickeled head, with ankling calculated just to kill that fellow dead. But after a mile or so, you're astounded to feel that man with rubber pedals hanging calmly on your wheel. So you argue out the question and you'll bustle to confess that the man is up to scratch with the fitness of the best. Still, for such as him to push you is a thing you can't allow. He asked for pace, and holy Moses, won't he get it now? You drop your head 12 inches, grip your handlebars tight and lift, as your calves and biceps swell by jingo, don't you shift. Then you reckon you've left him, and it's nearly time to slack, when you hear that cursed rattle of his mudguards on your back. He can hold his own at sprinting, that's proved beyond a doubt. So the only way to beat him is to simply wear him out. You set a nice 240 beat, and to yourself you hiss, that man with rubber pedals can't stand many miles of this. As the township's travels past, you and the milestones rise ahead, till your thighs are working stiffly, and you're pretty feeling pretty dead. So you force your pedally even, and your handlebars you clinch, but the man with rubber pedals hasn't shifted, not an inch. At last, in view of traffic and the fast approaching night, you decide that it's best to take the turning to the right. And as you pass around, he passes upright. With that beatific smile of his still glowing through the dust. Be you cycling in Sansui, he'll be there to do you bad. He's on St Kilda Road and every western camel pad. Be you cycling in the country, be you cycling in the town, that man with rubber pedals will be there to bring you down. Olé! Look out for him. He's like those rattly mud guards you can always hear. That's up there. There we go. That's, hey, listen, that was published about 1901, I reckon. The only attribution I have ever seen to that is somebody called McCG, I think, which I'm not sure. I've never been able to track it down.
It's still going on today on Canning Street and St Kilda Road and Gardens Creek Trail.
It happens at every red light in Melbourne when you get two or more cyclists gathered.
And, you know, now it's, you know, kind of tracing your PB, and you can actually trace these people now if you look at your Strava stuff. Anyway, we have a really interesting interview with a tradie who rides instead of having a massive vehicle. So do we want to play? Let's just kind of give a little reminder to people about today and what it's about.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air. Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
Today on Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio on 3CR Community Radio, I'm having a chat to Hayden. And Hayden, you're the best person here positioned to explain who you are and what you do.
Hayden, I'm from Tradies on Bikes. That is located in Thornbury, or the inner north of Melbourne. And essentially I'm running an electrician by bike service. Tradies on Bikes is an electrical service in the inner north, and we mostly focus on small installs and maintenance around the area. So the idea started when I was living back in the Netherlands in 2020, and I recently moved there through COVID to be with my partner, and I didn't have any tools or any vehicle to be able to do electrical work over there. So I pinched my father-in-law's bike, ordered a bunch of tools online, and just started advertising sort of expat Facebook groups. Ended up finding myself taking the pushy on the train and just going all around Holland on a push bike and just doing electrical work for people that couldn't find a native English speaker over there. And then it turned out to be a lot of fun. It's quite nice to ride around all day and get the fresh air. And well, the weather's not as good over there, but it's nice to get out, stretch your legs, and do some work by the bike.
You're doing small maintenance work. You weren't doing any large commercial sort of stuff, or did you do anything like that? Or
it was very much the same there. So, especially housing over there is very different. Everyone's in a 40, 50 square meter sort of apartment that's on top of each other. It was very stock standard, which is kind of useful. Because it was very easy to go and do very small installs like lighting or a couple of PowerPoints here and there. But yeah, I feel like at that time, I did do some light commercial, like some cafes and everything like that. But that probably took another year or two for me to get comfortable with the process of ordering materials and going through that way to take on those sorts of jobs.
So you'd have your materials and stuff off-site, or you'd have them delivered to the premises, those sort of things. Because people get intensely curious about if you're we're talking about a tradie on a bike and how people handle and do the logistics.
It is a different way of thinking about it, and it's very much the same here in Melbourne. Is the communication needs to be sort of top-notch, so you need to be able to get all the photos, all the information from the client at the start. From there, you might need to do a site inspection, which is fine. But from there, you will then order the materials. Most of the time you can carry it on a bike or on a cargo bike. Being an electrician, it's not too bad. It's just conduit and a few others, which are a bit big. But you know, when you need to get creative, you can, and you'll be able to carry it. Or you get them sent by a delivery, courier to send it there, and then you have everything on site. So that's how you do it all.
You're saying, well, with your business, Tradies on Bikes, it's like your carbon neutral, eco-friendly transport, so you don't have to worry about, you know, the obvious thing of parking. With, you know, you would know a lot of your adjacent industries, you know, the size of the vehicles that some people use, and I don't really want to go into that, but it is quite outlandish. But the stuff in Amsterdam, it sounded like it was great where you were dealing with expats and all the rest. So you kind of brought those skills back with you in terms of being able to find work, being able to kind of follow leads, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I feel it's always been, I find it very interesting to find the work. And over there, I found a real niche with expats. And then here in Melbourne, there's a genuine love for people who will give it a go by bike. So it's been people who are just very intrigued in how I do it. And since I seem to be working in a very similar area, which is the inner north, the word is obviously spreading, similar to a lot of other tradie businesses. But since you're doing it in a very unique way, people seem to talk a little bit more, which is good.
Pledge now, pay later. Did you know that you can pledge your support to 3CR Radiothon now and pay up later? Call the station during business hours on 9419 8377 and tell us what you'd like to donate, and then pay your donation later.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
With your bikes, because we're a show about cycling, I've got to ask, not too much commercial, you know, detail, but what sort of bikes do you run for the service?
At the moment, we have the, I don't know if you know it, but it's the Babu Curve. I think it's the Babu, is that how you say it? It's actually a Dutch bike for carrying children, pretty much. It's like a front loader cargo bike. And this is our single bike at the moment. I'm using it, sort of getting used to it to do other sort of jobs, lighting jobs, small installs, got a ladder on top of it. Yeah, at the moment, it hasn't failed me. To be honest, I've surprised a bunch of clients who have said to me, are you going to come back a second time, or do they want to keep the rubbish? I go, no, chuck it in the front. And it all seems to be going smoothly on that cargo bike.
And what have you kind of looked into, e-cargo bikes, some of the any of that, or you still kind of got to keep at that sort of style, the box bike at the front sort of thing?
I'm more focused on the box at the front type at the moment. Also, an Urban Arrow is another Dutch bike which I'm interested in. A lot of people, a lot of tradies in Amsterdam and other Dutch, just a lot of people in Holland have those bikes. I am looking towards maybe one of them as well. They're just probably a higher quality for what I'm looking for and what I want to use it for.
With the actual, you're doing your logistics for a job, and you're doing domestic, that sort of thing. So is it kind of like anything you've found like has been relatively a lot easier than trying to find a car park? These sort of things. I'm just fascinated by the actual kind of daily operations.
Yeah, no, I think what's easier is obviously the car parking and the traffic thing as well. If you're in the inner north or other congested areas, the traffic, it is a real thing, but it's a real learning curve. You've got to know what sort of like parks and what sort of roads you should be using and ones you should probably stay clear of. Because as much as they're doing a lot of work here, there's still some like roads that are just not great to be on. So that's definitely a plus when you've nailed that. And also the way of running the business compared to a normal tradie business where your phone will just go off and then you'll speak to the client about a maintenance call and you just go and see them wherever they are. And then you drive to the store and buy whatever you're going to need. you got to run it a little bit differently. So unless it's something incredibly generic, which you might carry in your bike at the time, or maybe it's the power's out and you can do it just with a single tool and some knowledge, you need to plan everything and structure your week pretty well, which can, I guess, be annoying at sometimes when there is a job that comes up last minute. But 9 times out of 10, you get a much happier client because the client gets to express the problem and what they need done, and you can plan everything accordingly and appropriately and give them a set time and be there on time, because you don't deal with these last second changes in plans.
Yeah, that's the thing about tradies. You got to, whatever thing it is, you got to have very good and clear communication with. Yeah, and it sounds like you've got that down pat, you know, in terms of, you know, it's
I hope so.
I hope you got it, because it's a damn good skill set to have. I'm not, you know.
What's quite funny is, and I was probably going to say it before, but I think you transitioned out of the question was, and this is if this is what you want to share on your radio, is it's actually hilarious the amount of looks I'll get from either other tradies or just people who are genuinely surprised to see an electrician riding a bike and the bike has spray painted on the side, Tradies on Bikes. Because to touch on what you said before about the plumbers and electricians in huge cars, you know, we're talking 100. Well, anywhere between 70 to 120 grand worth, worth of cars, and they're watching me ride past on a push bike, or I should say a cargo bike. You do get some looks, which is a bit of fun.
I'm just bemused, because I come from a family of Sparkies, and I'm just bemused by the growth of these cars. You know,
they're ridiculously big.
How do you need that? Why would you want to plug that sort of money?
It's more of a money thing. Like, they're just wasting so much cash.
Just in conclusion, we'll just talk a bit about what you do and how can people get in touch.
I'm more specialising in the small installs in home, not so much commercial, and then also maintenance, also residential side. So any power outages, like sockets that are not working, lights changing, those sorts of things. At the moment, I just run most of my communication and everything through my website, my phone number, and my Instagram, which Instagram is Tradies on Bikes. Same as my website. And my phone number is 0434-713-703. I wasn't too sure if you wanted me to add that last bit or not.
Oh, you can, yeah. No, we're fine with it. Yeah, it's
you can
all
cut
good.
It out, please. Please, stress.
I just love the stuff about just the, you can do this. There's people got this, like, mental block.
You can do anything. You just gotta give it a crack and think differently. I'm a little bit of a creative sort of guy, so I don't mind if I have a bunch of people looking at me down the street, because I see it as a marketing aspect. I think when they see me, they're never going to forget about me.
It's a unique point of difference, is, you know.
yeah, big time.
And thank you to Hayden for making time to have a chat about Tradies on Bikes. Now, today we have the second poetry reading and of our Radiothon show. And what have we got today, Val?
We've got Mulga Bill by that lovely old Australian poet A.B. Patterson, otherwise a.k.a. the Banjo. 'Twas Mulga Bill from Eagle Hawk that caught the cycling craze. He turned away the good old horse that served him many days. He dressed himself in cycling clothes, resplendent to be seen, and hurried off to town and bought a shiny new machine. And as he wheeled it through the door with air of lordly pride, the grinning shop assistant said, "Excuse me, can you ride?" "See here, young man," said Mulga Bill, "from Walgett to the sea, from Conroy's Gap to Castlereagh, there's none can ride like me. I'm good all round at everything, as everybody knows. Although I'm not the one to talk, I hate a man that blows. But riding is my special gift, my chiefest soul delight. Just ask a wild duck, can it swim? A wild cat, can it fight? There's nothing clothed in hair or hide or dressed in spirit or steel. There's nothing walks or jumps or runs on axle, hoof or wheel. But what I'll sit while hide will hold and girths and straps are tight. I'll ride this here two-wheel concern right straight away at sight." 'Twas Mulga Bill from Eagle Hawk that sought his own abode, that perched above the Dead Man's Creek beside the mountain road. He turned the cycle down the hill and mounted for the fray, but ere he'd gone a dozen yards, it bolted clean away. It left the track and through the trees, just like a silver streak. It whistled down the awful sleep street towards the Dead Man's Creek. It shaved a stump by half an inch, it dodged a big white box. The very wallaroos in fright went scrambling up the rocks. The wombats hiding in their caves dug deeper underground, as Mulga Bill, as white as chalk, sat tight to every bound. It struck a stone and gave a spring that cleared a fallen tree. It raced beside a precipice, as close could be. And then, as Mulga Bill let out one last despairing shriek, it made a leap of 20 feet into the Dead Man's Creek. 'Twas Mulga Bill from Eagle Hawk that slowly swam ashore. He said, "I've had some narrow shaves and lively rides before. I rode a wild bull round a yard to win a 5-pound bet. But this was the most awful ride that I've encountered yet. I'll give that two-wheeled creature, it's shaken all my nerve to feel it whistle through the air and plunge and buck and swerve. It's safe at rest in Dead Man's Creek. Let's leave it lying still. A horse's back is good enough henceforth for Mulga Bill." A great story about Australian pride and arrogance undone by a two-wheeled bicycle.
It's kind of also has its adjacent parallels, you know, into the modern age of, you know, throwing rental bikes into creeks and rivers. Okay, now we
excuse
must.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Can you ride?
Shut up. Oh, I can still sit on a wind trainer. Yeah, okay, so don't forget to go to 3cr.org.au/donate. Call 03 9419 8377, or you can go to givenow.com.au/cr/ again Yarra Bug Radio Show, or just go to Give Now and look for Yarra Bug Radio. Now we're halfway through in terms of making our donations or making our things, so that is fantastic.
We've done well. Yes,
we've done so well, and
we get to stay here at lovely 3CR.
We get to stay here. And what can we just round out the last 2 minutes before we...
Well, I'm just going to say, for every day for the last 50 years, 3CR has had real people behind the microphone, making a very direct and personal connection with each and every 3CR listener. Ensure 3CR stays on the air for another 50 years. There we go. Check out the back of the couch. If you're worried about something happening, look, you know, make a contribution. Voices can sometimes struggle in this modern age to get traction and to reach people. Community radio, especially then podcasting, has got one of the biggest reaches of all time. I'm not going to quote Noam Chomsky, but radical radio and community radio does have a real effect, especially on communities that are small.
Yeah, so that's all we've got time for today on Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio. Go to yarrabug.org/radio or go to 3cr.org.au/yarrabike or yarrabug to pick up our latest interview, or go to the community radio app. And also, if you go to our page, there's all these other ways you can listen to Yarrabug Radio.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
For the month of June, we're asking listeners to donate to the station to help keep us going. We rely on the generous donations of the community to survive. Go to 3cr.org.au and show your support for community-owned and community-run media.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's ride to school programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Did you enjoy listening to that podcast? 3CR is a community radio station, and you, the listener, are a part of that community. Right now, it's our Radiothon. We need you to pitch in with a few dollars to keep the station going. We can't do it without you. It's easy. Head to 3cr.org.au/donate. Your donations really matter.